Well, good evening again. It's good to be with you all and be able to sing some beautiful songs about when we see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory and be able to think about those wonderful blessings, knowing that one day we will gain the victory over death, over sin, over the corruption of this world. But it's good to be able to be reminded of those things. And so it's good to be with you. Look with me this evening to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter. I want to develop some other thoughts that I think are helpful for us. When we talk about being blessed, it is used many times throughout the Bible. And probably the most popular ones are what we call the Beatitudes. And when we think of Jesus giving us those Beatitudes, we sometimes miss the point or forget that there are many other blessings that are spoken with regard to our life here and then the life to come. In Revelation, there's quite a few blessings, which is kind of counter to what we generally think of Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Just like the Beatitudes or the blessings in Matthew, the 5th chapter, he gives us these reasons that people are blessed and then why. Like you remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he tells us things that may not be agreed to by the world. As a matter of fact, if you look at the list that Jesus gives in Matthew 5, I doubt very seriously if anybody in a worldly frame of mind or the world would think those people are blessed. Blessed are the poor. Unless you're not blessed. That's not the way the world would look at it. Or those who mourn, those who meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's just not the way the world thinks. And Jesus is stating a tremendous idea of how we look at life and how we look at the services of God. And when he makes that statement, although the world may think otherwise, from heaven's perspective, they truly are blessed of God. And when we come to the book of Revelation, Revelation is doing about the same thing. It's a little bit different in its context, but it's talking about people who are blessed despite what you read through the book itself. And because it's such a great clash of beliefs and faiths and such a almost a military type situation. I love going to one of my favorite websites is BibleHub.com and BibleHub.com. And on the front of their webpage there, they have about 30 or 35 translations. I think that's something like that. And you can just see all of them and type in a verse, and it'll give you all 30 or 35 translations. And when you look at any of these passages, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, it's interesting how it talks about being blessed here. And I think in 26 or 27 out of 35 translations, our more modern translations still use the word blessed. Blessed is a very general word. It can have the idea of being blessed physically or being blessed spiritually. It can cover a huge amount. It can mean to be fortunate. It can mean well off. It can mean happy. It can mean spiritually in fellowship with God. And it's interesting to me that of all of the more modern translations, they still want to use the word blessed. And it can mean just being contented, kind of like over in Psalms 33, David said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Well, that could involve a lot of things. That not only involves your spiritual life, but your physical life and the way you're living your life, but certainly to be blessed of God. Revelation, as we just studied in the last couple of quarters, was written to saints who were about to go into a war of faith, a war of conviction. And it pictures Revelation pictures in words this great struggle between the church, the early church, and the Roman Empire. And it serves as such a tremendous lesson for us that when you look at the two combatants, if you want to say it that way, the church is just a small, struggling group of people that kind of lived on the fringe of society. The Jewish people, for the most part, wouldn't have a whole lot to do with them. The Roman Empire didn't know who they were. And when you thought of Christian, they thought of all of the rest of the Jewish people, the Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians, and the Christians, and the Essenes, and everything else. And they just kind of threw them all in there with the rest of the Jews. And it didn't really in any way seem like the Christians were as formidable as you would think. But they had a very formidable Lord. And that's what the book is about, that it is going to win. It has a lot of warnings in it. It has a lot of admonitions in it when you read the book of Revelation. It has a lot of calls to repentance, doesn't it? But it also has many blessings, many beatitudes, and why they are blessed. And that's what's good, just if you want to go through and study it from that standpoint. So I thought we'd do that tonight. Just begin with the verse first when we read there in Revelation 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. And he gives you the reason why. Why are they blessed who hears and reads and keeps this letter? He says, for the time is near. We're not reading just for the enjoyment of reading. We all might read novels and things. I like spy novels. I like to read a lot of them. And you might read just for pleasure. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about, blessed is that person who reads the book of Revelations because he enjoys it. So that's not it. He is saying, blessed is he who reads and hears and keeps the things that are written in it, for the time is here. That's what he's wanting us to understand. And when he starts off, blessed is he that reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. This is divine. This is God's words. You might have your favorite author. I guess we all do, but this ought to be our favorite author. When God speaks, we should set up and pay attention. Like you all know over in 2 Peter, you remember there in the first chapter, it says, for a prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. And that's how John is beginning this particular great letter. And he is saying, those who pay attention. And Jewish tradition, they generally had readers in the synagogue, kind of like we do here. We'll have somebody start off and read four or five passages just for the purpose of getting the Word of God out. Just listen to the Word of God in a text. We don't just draw out maybe one verse, but we'll read maybe 10 or something like that. Well, the Jewish people did that. I think the church picked that up, as the Jewish synagogues did that a lot. And there were always readers. And you can see that in Luke, the fourth chapter, and several other places. And just reading and hearing. In the Jewish culture, it was interesting that many people could read. And they could be quite fluent in their reading and in their speech of some languages. But some people may not be able to read. But he says, those who read and those who hear the words of this prophecy. He wants us to understand that this is the emphasis. Look with me back if you're following along. Luke, the 11th chapter. In Luke, the 11th chapter, down at Jesus is speaking some of the wonderful things that he impresses upon people. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot like our subject this morning. And after he had said some things, Luke 11, verse 27. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Verse 28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And he pronounces a blessing upon people who will hear it and keep it. Hear it with the determination not only to remember it, but to keep it. Look with me back in John, the 13th chapter. The guys were reading back there last week in John 13, talking about Jesus cleaning, washing the saints' feet. John, the 13th chapter, right down at the end, verse 17. He said, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He was talking about not just washing someone's feet. He's talking about serving one another and be concerned enough to be able to help one another in whatever capacity it might be. And so many people have misunderstood that. But the point he's getting across is, again, that if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And of course, you recall in James, the first chapter, James was talking about that very idea. He said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So when we read in Revelation, the first chapter, and we read down at verse 3, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things." It's very important that he keeps these things because the time is getting close. And the answer is listening to what has been revealed. Look with me at another one. There's several, so we're going to try to get through them tonight if we can. And Revelation, the 14th chapter. Another one that you have heard many times. Revelation, 14th chapter. Heard this many times certainly at funerals. But it's very well known, I think, to most members of the church. Revelation 14, verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Again, it moves right along the lines, it seems like, as the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. This is not necessarily what you would think of the blessed people, is it? Blessed are the dead? You don't hear that very often. And yet, that's exactly what he's teaching. But more particularly, he is saying, blessed are the dead who die where? In the Lord. Those truly are the ones who are blessed. The ones who have, back up a verse with me to the previous verse, verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And then I heard this voice saying, "Blessed are those who die in the service of God." And this faith in Jesus here was not just some mere believism that they had in their mind. It was a belief, a conviction that moved them to keep and do. They were doing something. See how he says that? "Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." You can't rest from your labors unless you're doing labors, right? And he is saying, this truly is the place of rest for the children of God. Paul is assuring us that those people who have died in Christ, look with me over in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul is assuring those who have died in Christ, they haven't lost their reward. They have not lost everything, which is the way the world looks at it sometimes. If you believe in the Bible and you live according to the Bible and you die, you've lost everything. In one sense, that's true, but in another sense, it's not. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, "For we brought nothing into this world, and we will not what? Not going to take anything out either." It's a zero-sum situation. But that's not the way the Bible teaches about those who die in the Lord, because we read 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." They're with Jesus. And when Jesus returns again, they haven't lost anything. They're going to be with Jesus. And if they're with Jesus now, they'll be with Jesus then. And that is a gain. That is a marvelous thought of that idea. And that's why he's saying, blessed are those who die in the Lord. And he is telling them this here. Except here in Revelation 14, he says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. With what result? That they may rest from their labors. And that describes part of the life that we have. And then go back with me again, Revelation 14th chapter. Don't miss that point right in the middle of the verse. Verse 13. He says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Old King James says, from henceforth, doesn't it? Oh, New King James says, from now on. Their future is secure in the Lord. Their future, you talk about somebody who has died, their future is over. No, it's not. He says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth or from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And he says, their works do follow them. Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and he talks about the position of the child of God and our devotion and dedication. He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And he goes on to say, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, John is bringing together this idea. He is mentioning the obvious idea that some in the service of God are going to die. Here in Revelation 14, he says, blessed are those who die in the service of God. That ought to be the faith that allows them to look right into the face of death and be faithful and trust in the Lord. Because that's what the Lord did. That's what the Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. So that's one of the challenging beatitudes or blessings that we read here in the book of Revelation. Just like when you're reading the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, you might not think blessed are the poor, but it means poor in spirit, or blessed are those who mourn, but those who have a sensitivity to right and wrong and righteousness and holiness. Blessed are those who are meek, and we need to strive to be that, or hunger and thirst after righteousness. The same thing here, this idea, blessed are the dead, die in the Lord. You're back there with me in Revelation again. Look with me on the next one that I find is over in, and if you find some others, tell me about it. I might have overlooked one. In Revelation, the 16th chapter, he's talking about where he's pouring out the bowls of wrath and the destruction of the old harlot and things of that nature, and how it's begun. But right in the middle of all of that, he announces another blessing or beatitude. Verse 15 of Revelation 16. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see is shame. Well, he pronounces a blessing here, or a beatitude. The Latin word for bless is beatus, and that's where we get beatitude. So sometimes they use beatitude, sometimes they use just blessed or blessed. But he says, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So there's a very important idea for you and I to recognize that we need to dedicate ourselves to watching. And the person who watches his life and maybe others is truly the one who is blessed. Because he will not endure the shame of those who appear before God naked without any clothing whatsoever. Comes as a thief in the night. What comes to your thoughts when you think of that? Look back in the third chapter of Revelation, one of the letters to the seven churches. Revelation, third chapter, he's writing to the church at Sardis. Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. He's talking to one of his churches, isn't he? He's talking to a group of his people. And he said, if you don't watch, I will come upon you like a thief. And really the whole idea of coming upon them like a thief is coming when they're not expected. There is this idea that we would be shamed when he comes and we would not be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, but the people of the world are not going to be prepared for the Lord. I understand that. But what about his people, members of the Lord's church, people of the kingdom, servants in the vineyard of the Lord? That all of a sudden something would happen and we stand before the Lord and we're unprepared. What shameful thought would that be for us? And we don't want that. So he said, I want you to watch. And as we're reading back here in the 16th chapter again, he is talking about, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. How important is that? Remember Jesus said over in Matthew 24, he said, be ye ready, for the Son of Man comes when? In an hour you think not. He's talking to us. He's talking to his disciples there. And there's such a warning and such a blessed understanding of, I need to live my life prepared for the Lord. I might go to meet the Lord this very evening. The good Lord might come tonight. He might not come for 1,000 years. I might go to see him. But here in Revelation 16, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. To keep our garments undefiled. And that was just a way of talking about it. And throughout the New Testament, it talks that way about us being clothed to the Lord, put on the Lord, being baptized into Christ. We've put on Christ. There's several places like that. Paul, well, look with me back in Romans 13. Paul is trying to warn the Christians in Rome. Romans 13, down toward the end. Yes, Romans 13, look down at verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Sounds like some of them are asleep, aren't they? Verse 12, the night's far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh. Same thought as you read there in Revelation, the 16th chapter, put on the Lord. And that's something you and I have to do as we read back here in Revelation 16 again, just this idea of blessed is he who takes care of business. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So there are warnings, calls for repentance, but there are also blessings in the middle of a war. Look over in the 19th chapter. 19th chapter, there's another statement there. When you get to the 19th chapter, the harlot's been destroyed, and there's a series of four alleluias, or hallelujahs, however your translation may say it, and that she has been defeated, and the smoke of her destruction arises. Let's see, come down, we're in the 19th chapter, verse 7. He said, let us be glad and rejoice. Give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Why are we blessed if we're invited to the marriage ceremony of the Lamb. Well, I mean, that's pretty, in that day and time, and I guess today too, a marriage is an occasion of joy, and not that our other occasions are not, but probably one of the great examples of joy. Two lives have come together to create a new household, and it's just a time of celebration. Two families have been joined together, and that's why we read there in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." But he says, "Blessed are those who are called or invited to the marriage supper." Those who respond. But as you've seen so far, we have to take care of business. We have to be people that are serious about this, like one of the parables Jesus gives, Matthew, the 12th chapter, I believe. Matthew 22. That'd give me a chance to get a drink. Jesus gives a parable here of a great king who had prepared a tremendous supper for his son, his son's marriage, and all of the provisions and plans were brought together and everything was made ready, and he sends out servants everywhere telling all the invited guests to come, and all things are prepared, coming to the feast, and they wouldn't come. And he sent his servants again. You can read down through there. And they mistreated the servants, and the king was furious, and he sent his armies out against them. But as you get further down, verse 10, So those servants went out in the highways. I'll back up with one. The king says, verse 9, "Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" It'd be a tough time to hear that question, wouldn't it? Especially from a king. That he had been invited. At first he wasn't, but now he had been invited and he shows up. And I don't know what the dress code was in that day and time of attending a wedding, but it was pretty particular. And this guy didn't have it. And what was the guy's answer? Let's see, verse 12. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. We're not going to have an answer. We're going to stand there with our mouth closed if we're not prepared. And then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness." So when we're looking at Revelation in the 19th chapter here, and this wonderful beatitude or blessing that comes our way in the 19th chapter, he just says, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, an occasion of joy and victory and celebration and the obtaining of that which they had long sought for." Because that's what we want to hear. We want to hear Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, we don't want to hear the other. We want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." 20th chapter, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power." It's going to take a while to talk about. I think I'll wait till next week to finish this. There are several other beatitudes that are powerful. I think I'll take up with this next week because it'll take more than 3 or 4 minutes. The book of Revelation has great blessings, but it's got some powerful warnings. It's got things that we need to pay attention to and we need to look at and we need not to ignore, that we are in a war. while we're on this earth. We were born onto a battlefield. And we'll never leave this battlefield till the day we die. And we will live this life by our faith in the Lord, or we'll live it by our own ideas. But over and over and over, he tells us the people who truly are blessed are those who have the faith to accept his word and live by it. And that's such a wonderful blessing. It really is. In a world of darkness and sin and no hope. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. The Lord is calling people to him, come unto me. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost gave the answer to the Jewish people. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But as children of God, as servants in the vineyard, let us not lose sight of the fact that you and I have a very serious business to be about. And a lot of it has to do with what we've been reading in the book of Revelation. Let's be about the Lord's business. And if we haven't been, let's make some changes. Let's devote and rededicate our efforts to serving the Lord and reflecting the Lord to the world around us, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?